Hi, it's Tracy. Before we start, I have a request. Okay, it's a little weird, maybe even a lot weird, but hello, 6.5 million downloads on my podcast, and still we haven't chosen a sponsor, right? Yeah, they just haven't been good enough for us, and that's a little weird too. So I decided I'm going to treat this like a sponsorship spot. Many of you know Marcus, my son, who's been the inspiration behind this podcast, the book, my programs, anything at all to do with ADHD. Well, he is graduating from NYU this May, and boy, are we happy that he did it in 4 years. So anyway, Marcus loves to travel, and so he's spending 6 weeks by himself traveling to 5 countries in South America. I don't know about you, but there's no way in hell that I would go to even one country alone. And so we gave Marcus a very low budget. This trip is a combination of his birthday and graduation gift, and he figured it all out himself. He speaks some Spanish, but he hired a Spanish tutor from Ecuador a couple weeks ago, months maybe, who's a professor at a university there, and this professor is helping him with his conversational Spanish. Marcus also changed his phone to Spanish only and all of his apps, and he only watches Spanish TV in preparation for this trip. So that gives you a little bit of an idea of what Marcus is like. Now, Marcus would ultimately like to earn a PhD in psychology. He's fascinated by the brain, learning differences, and particularly how dyslexia impacts math. For the near future, though, he wants to work for a couple of years in New York City. I never thought he'd say that. He was always looking for more nature. So anyway, he's going on this trip, and what he's trying to do is find a job that he can come back to. He's come very close, but still no cigar. So yes, I am hawking my son's skills on these airwaves. He thinks I'm insane. But I'm like, who knows what interesting people are out there? I mean, I found my husband in a personal ad when no one was doing that. So why not find a job using my podcast? I mean, ultimately, finding a partner or finding a job, it's all the same thing, right? It's marketing, just getting the word out. Right job, right person. So that's my weird request. If you have any leads in New York City, Marcus would love to work in advertising or marketing sales. He's a phenomenal researcher. I promise you, he can find anything. He's very skilled in Excel and financial modeling. He'd be amazing in digital advertising or tech marketing. And beyond his hard skills, he's resilient. He's so smart. And he has an exceptional work ethic. And that's not just his mother talking. He's not like me. He prefers not to challenge the status quo all the time. He actually likes structure and systems. And he has so many ideas about how to make things better, faster, more efficient, simpler. So I'm putting this out there to our incredible community. If you know of any opportunities in digital advertising, tech marketing, or sales that are in New York City and could benefit from a bright, hardworking, and respectful young professional like my son Marcus, send me an email at support@tracyoutsuka.com and I will connect the two of you. Look, Marcus represents the very essence of what we talk about here every week, right? The brilliance of thinking differently. And so does his mother. So thank you for letting me be weird. And now let's get on with the show.
Richard Branson, Michael Phelps, Justin Timberlake, James Carville. Wait a minute. Where are the women? Greta Gerwig, Lisa Ling, Audra McDonald, Simone Biles. That sounds like a list of highly successful titans in a variety of industries. They all have ADHD, but you don't hear much about that now, do you? You know what else you don't hear about? Are the 43% of people with ADHD who are in excellent mental health. Why aren't we talking about them and what they're doing right? I'm your host, Tracy Otsuka, and that's exactly what we do here. I'm a lawyer, not a doctor, a lifelong student, and now the author of my new book, ADHD for Smart-Ass Women. I'm also a certified ADHD coach and the creator of Your ADHD Brain is A-OK, a patented system that helps ADHD women just like you get unstuck and fall in love with their brilliant brains. Here, we embrace our too muchness and we focus on our strengths. My guests and I credit our ADHD for some of our greatest gifts. And to those who still think they're too much, too impulsive, too scattered, too disorganized, I say, no one ever made a difference by being too little. Hello, hello, hello. I am your host, Tracy Otsuka. Thank you so much for joining me here for another episode of ADHD for Smartass Women. You know that my purpose is always to show you who you are and then inspire you to be it. In the thousands of ADHD women that I've had the privilege of meeting, I've never met a one that wasn't truly brilliant at something, not one. So of course, I am just delighted to introduce you to Ellie Hino. Ellie Hino is a Minneapolis-based stand-up comic with a heart of gold, or so she tells me. She grew up and went to school for theater in Wisconsin, but dropped out 18 credits short. We're going to talk all about that. But who needs school? Ellie certainly doesn't, because Ellie has appeared in the 2019 and 2021 Limestone Comedy Festivals, the Boston Women in Comedy Festival, and she was featured in Best of the Fest at 10,000 Laughs Comedy Festival. Recently, she's opened for Maria Bamford, Atsuko Okatsuka, which I'm sure I still massacred it, which is ridiculous because that's my name twice. Dana Gould and Bobcat Goldway. I know those names. They're big names, right? So on Thursday night, she co-hosts Darlings with Ben Katzner, a weekly showcase of local and national stand-up comics at Zora Darling in Minneapolis. Welcome, Ellie. Did I get all of that right?
Heck yes. Thank you so much for having me. Nice to meet you, Tracy.
Absolutely. I am delighted to meet you and just talk about ADHD and comedy and how in the hell do you do this and working memory and all of that. So I would love to know what your ADHD story is.
I was actually pretty recently diagnosed, maybe 3-ish years ago. I guess more than that, maybe 5 years ago, when my child was kind of a toddler, maybe 3 or 4.
Wow.
And
so was that a boy or a girl?
A boy.
A boy. Of course. Of course. It's always the boy. And then the mom gets diagnosed, right? And he was diagnosed at 3 or 4.
He was not diagnosed. He was little and I started looking online at just symptoms. And I all of a sudden saw lists of adult ADHD symptoms. And I always joked that I had ADHD and I kind of assumed I did, but I never really thought of it as something that I really needed a diagnosis for or something that affected me negatively that much. But when I saw the list of symptoms, I thought to myself, oh, those are all of the things that I struggle with in life and that make life really hard for me. And it was stuff like emotional lability and easily frustrated and those kinds of things. I never thought about that being part of it, and anxiety. And so I went and got myself tested, and the psychologist who tested me, and I found the whole testing process so fascinating. So we can dive into that later too, if you want to, but he told me that he said that most of the adults that he diagnoses with ADHD are mothers of young children.
Yeah.
And that made so much sense to me. He just said, it's not been that big of a problem for you your whole life. And all of a sudden when you have a whole new responsibility that's pulling your mind a million different ways, it makes it really hard to do all of those daily tasks.
Yeah. The mommy factor. You're coping, kind of holding it together. Right. And then add one more thing and it's like, you know, you're trying to juggle. Right. And then all the balls fall. So I'm curious, what you were like as a child.
I mean, I think I was a little hyper probably, but not wildly so. I remember being told I was weird a lot of times. And I mean, I am a creative person, so fair, but I do think a big part of that was my ADHD. Impulsive. Yeah. I've always been impulsive. I think that's probably one of my biggest ADHD symptoms. And yeah, I was a creative child. I was, I don't know, outgoing and friendly and everything was good. I always, always got good grades, but it always said what it says on all of our report cards, which is, you know, Ellie talks too much in class. And if she could just focus, she would do so much better. And
and stop disturbing her peers.
Yes, all of the classics.
So were you diagnosed combined type or inattentive or what?
You know, I don't know that he really gave me a type. I got like a huge, I got all the results to all the tests and then a long narrative about kind of what he thought. But the way he explained it to me was that it wasn't a black and white diagnosis, but that he would assume from all of the tests that I do have ADHD. And I think combined type, yeah. Because for sure the hyperactive or like the impulsive stuff.
Yeah.
But also the focus.
Right.
So yeah.
And inattention and being in your head and because you know, you said something about anxiety and I honestly, Ellie, have never met an ADHD woman because that's who, you know, I talk to all the time that doesn't have some amount of anxiety. I don't know how you can go through this world with this different brain that often doesn't fit in and not experience some anxiety. So I don't even understand why they're, oh, it's a comorbidity. 60 to 80% of people have, you know, anxiety. I'm like, we all have some anxiety, don't you think?
Yeah. And I remember my therapist at the time, she was wonderful. And she even told me after I got diagnosed, she said, Ellie, I just want you to know, I feel bad that I didn't notice this sooner. And that we talked so much about your anxiety because it's so obvious to me now, you know, that that is where all of this is coming from.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I do, I take Ritalin and that helps me a ton. Oh. And I remember at one point going through pretty dark depression during, you know, pandemic winter times.
Yeah.
And my regular physician tried, you know, like some pretty hardcore antidepressants and that just felt weird and off. And then I saw a psychiatrist and he was like, honestly, it sounds like maybe you're depressed because you're having a hard time getting things done and then feeling all of this shame and guilt. So for a while, we just upped my Ritalin a little bit and then that was all I needed.
Wow. So is it your belief at this point that the anxiety and the depression was not comorbid, but was actually caused by the ADHD?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think a big portion of it, at least. I can't say all of it, but I mean, yeah, I think that because of the ADHD also, I think there are some like habits that weren't formed, some good, healthy habits and some bad habits that were formed.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of those and a lot of the shame and guilt from those things and struggles are what causes the.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So once you knew it was ADHD and you had the benefit of hindsight, what are some of the symptoms that you always wondered about, but now you recognize them as, oh, duh, that was ADHD?
I mean, the impulse control was the wildest to me. And the difficulty with like getting really frustrated and like overwhelmed with my emotions. Because, well, with the impulse control, I just never really thought of that as what it was. I just thought I was made bad choices sometimes. And I mean, I do, but but there's some reason behind it. And you know, I was constantly socially anxious, especially after having my son, because I think my brain just went on full mode and there was no room. But every time I left a social situation, I was like, God, I interrupted so much and I said this stupid thing. And it was just really hard for me to not say the first thing that I thought. And now I'm much more aware of that. And it's not just that I'm rude and interrupt. It's that my brain is impulsive.
Well, and that is why you're funny and you're a comedian.
It's true,
that is exactly why, right? Because you have these thoughts.
Yeah.
And then you'll say them.
Yes, I'll say them without thinking it through.
I love that.
Big trouble. You know, I have to say one of my favorite, most interesting tests during the testing had to do with impulse control. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but he basically put me in front of a computer and I was supposed to just press the space bar every time.
Was it the TOVA?
Is that it, when an X goes up or something?
There's two, and now I can't remember what the other one is. So I did the TOVA, but it was circles and squares of different colors. And they'll tell you, okay, you have to press the space bar. It's the same thing. You have to press the space bar when there's a blue circle.
But not when there's not.
Yes.
And it was so fascinating because it wasn't me making a choice. My brain was doing it without my consent. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was pressing that space bar and I was like, no, don't press it. But my body was like, yes, we're doing it. It was wild to me.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's a great test because it is objective, right?
Yeah.
It's not someone else making a decision. You can actually see how you rank versus the rest of the world that they've tested that does not have ADHD.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I think I scored in the 99th percentile for hyperactivity in that score. I mean, in that test. And I was shocked. I mean, I knew I was hyperactive, but that hyperactive? Because I guess it's a combination of they're watching you, which I didn't know. But then on top of that, it's your brain and what you're doing, right? So
you're thinking of it your whole life, or I was thinking of it as a bad behavior and not something that my brain was just doing on its own without me choosing to.
Yeah. So do you have a story of maybe one of the more impulsive things that you've done that is actually kind of funny?
Well, so I have my new comedy album coming out and it's called Soft Bones. blondemedicine.com and that
okay wait
out-
say that again Ellie so the background in here
blonde medicine blonde with an e medicine.com okay. Or just find my name and follow me, Ellie Hino, H-I-N-O. Anyway, my album is Soft Bones, and the reason it's called Soft Bones is because that's like a throwaway line in this story that I tell on stage about it's a story about when my son was about 10 months old and I took him on a little roller coaster and I shouldn't have done that.
I didn't know they let you.
Well, it was for little kids. It was not, I mean, I really ham it up obviously on stage and make it sound a little worse than it was, but I mean, it wasn't great and he was fine. But I say in the beginning of that story, I say, there's going to be a point in this story when you're going to feel very worried about my baby. But what I want you to remember is that babies have very soft bones. And he was fine. There was no injuries were incurred. But it went faster than I thought it was going to. And when I left there, that was like, oh, something's wrong with me. That was a really bad choice.
Although, Ellie, what I would think is, well, there are people that man that, and that was a roller coaster for kids. So if it was so bad, wouldn't someone have stopped me? Because I would have been like, it'll be fine. It's a kid roller coaster.
I know. And like I say in my story, there was a very responsible looking teenager running the ride. So he said it was fine.
my gosh. So I'm curious, how's your son doing now?
He's great.
No problem. How old is he now?
He's 8 years old.
8 years old. Okay.
Yeah.
And do you think he has ADHD?
I don't really want to speculate, especially publicly. He's kind of a private guy, but I mean, it certainly crossed my mind.
And I just think
I think everyone has ADHD. Are you like that where you meet people and you're like, oh, you have ADHD, you have ADHD.
Oh, totally. But this is the deal. If I really like them, that's when I'm like, you're screwed. If I like you and you like me, we probably have something in common.
Yeah.
And I always, and sometimes, you know, I will open my mouth. Like recently I was at some book event and I said to this high powered just woman who is, she's done so much with her life. And I looked at her and it was an event for another author. So it wasn't about my book. And I looked at it because if it was about my book, that would have been different. But I looked at her and I said, do you have ADHD? And we communicated after the event. And I think I really offended her because, you know, she's so high powered. But the reason I asked her is because to me, it's always a compliment, right? It is.
Did she know who you
I
were?
I want to be around you.
You had written this book. Do you think she knew who you were and that you had written this?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She totally knew. She totally knew. And she did say, you know, I have thought about it, but I am too together and I'm almost OCD. And I don't like using that word because what we think OCD is really not OCD. You
sure.
know, OCD is not being organized and hyper organized and on top of everything and having all the spreadsheets and all
right.
that. It is not that. It is intrusive thoughts that don't make sense, that if I don't do X, you know, someone's going to die or like they don't make sense. So
yeah, it can
what
be a
she
lot.
Was saying was OCD. And was, you know, just going on and on about all the stuff she does and how organized she is. And she runs like a fine Swiss clock or something like that. Okay, now you've confirmed it for me. You know, it's that hyperactive perfectionism around the things that you do, because we're always so afraid that if we're not hyper organized, something's going to fall through the cracks. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of organized, right now I am sitting in, you can't see it because I cleared this area, but right next to me, this is our extra bedroom that should be a spare, but instead it is just
storage.
Sure. We'll call it storage.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, I am so curious because I know that you have struggled with social anxiety. You told me that and you just shared it with us. And I am curious how social anxiety and getting up on stage as a comedian in big forums, how does that square? Because it doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make sense to me either. If I'm being honest, I don't know. And you know what? It's wild because almost every stand-up comedian I know has ADHD or anxiety or depression or something going
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
It is pretty rare you meet a real clean slate out there.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how we do it or why we do it. I think, I wonder. So I came from kind of a theater background too, which was also like memorizing lines. And you had mentioned working memory, and that is definitely something I struggle with big time.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, huge. My word finding is insane. Like I joke, and I shouldn't joke about it because it's not funny, but like I joke that I have dementia because I can't ever think of the word, but it's just,
you know what I call
memory.
Them, Ellie?
What?
I call them word holes.
Word holes.
And then you know how you're trying to think of this word because that is the word that then links all you know about a certain subject.
Yes.
And I that just happened to me with a reporter and I could not remember the word. And so what I'm doing is I'm focusing on the word and I can't even focus on her question.
Yeah.
So that was my big question for you. I just assumed that. Okay, because I know you struggled
that
in school because you dropped
yeah.
out, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, enough. Yeah, I would have finished, I bet, if I had been taking Ritalin.
Exactly. So
and I say it like I'm a huge proponent of drugs. I think if it works for you, it works for you. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. I'm not trying to, you know, I got some problems with Big Pharma. I just want to throw that out there too.
I think we all do.
For me, it does help me an insane amount.
So I had this little picture in my brain or a little story in my brain, because you're a comedian, that you have to memorize these. I look at these comedians and I'm in awe how they're able to get on stage and tell these stories and remember them. And I could never do that because my working memory is so bad. So because you struggled in school, my thought was, oh, she probably has a little bit of dyslexia, some form of dyslexia. And that means she has incredible visual memory. So she probably has an eidetic memory and can memorize everything because she just sees it. No, you
That's
have poor working memory.
I never thought of dyslexia as a visual memory, but I do have a very visual memory. And I wonder sometimes if like, performing or memorizing or practicing and then doing was like a really satisfying challenge because of my ADHD.
Oh, we love challenges.
We do. And I do, I will say like now I work on a chunk or a bit or whatever you want to call it for a long time until it is pretty word for word. And then I also improvise and can mess around once it's there. But once it's there, it kind of becomes muscle memory. And so I could, even if I was really anxious and didn't have my Ritalin with me, I could just say all of my jokes word for word pretty much because I've done it so many times. But the first times I do something are scary because I'm like, okay, you want to say this, you want to say that. And a lot of stand-up is thinking on your feet. And I used to do improvisation as well.
Yeah. That impulsivity came into play.
Yes, which is basically a huge piece of it. It's kind of like improvised jazz where you just turn off. I don't know if it's, I think it's like your frontal lobe. There's your judgment. You just turn off your judgment and say what you think first, which is, I don't have to turn anything off.
Which is why it's funny, right? Because everybody's like, I can't believe she said that. But it actually makes sense.
Yeah, but it's relatable because we were all thinking.
Yeah.
So there was a game when I was an improviser called ABC. And it's a game that you may have seen, like when people do short form improv, which is the more gamey stuff. And every sentence you say, like I would say a sentence that starts with A, and usually you start in the middle of the alphabet. So they'd give us M as our first letter. I'd say a sentence that starts with M. You'd say a sentence that starts with N. I'd say a sentence that starts with O. My palms are sweating just thinking about it. I could not do it. I can't think of the alphabet like that.
Yeah.
In the middle of trying to be a character and be funny and stand in front of people. And that's the kind of thing I just couldn't do. And I remember one of my sort of directors saying, Ellie, I'm so sick of hearing you complain and not want to do that game. You're doing it today. It's your job. Just do it. And I remember being in tears in this dumb hotel convention room because I was like, you don't understand. I can't. And I didn't know that it was because of my ADHD. Yeah. I just thought my brain just was dumb and just, I just couldn't learn the alphabet.
I would just do N and say whatever I wanted to say. N and say whatever I wanted to say. Like,
but I would have to start. I would have to start with the song at A every time just to figure out which letter is next.
Oh, Ellie, have you ever thought that you might have some dyslexia?
No.
No?
I haven't, though.
But the fact that you struggle with the letters, right?
Yeah.
And where they fit. So what I heard, or what I was told by experts, actually, is there's six types of dyslexia. And so we think of dyslexia as, oh, well, you can't read. Well, my son has dyslexia.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, you know, no, that's not what dyslexia is.
Okay.
My son can read perfectly. Like he, you know, he just, but he never really liked to read unless it was, you know, the picture
reading.
Kind of books. Oh, just,
it's not that I hate it. I love it. It's really hard for me to get
it's
into
it. It's hard for
I
you. Think, oh my gosh, Ellie.
I don't know if it's a focus thing. I'm going to check it out. That's interesting.
So my theory may be true then, because what I will say is with my working memory, I could never memorize that. And I, the minute there's a little bit of anxiety, everything is gone. I would literally, the only way I could do something like that is if I had a big one of those boards up there, and at least I would need a roadmap, like, you know, okay, I'm going to talk about the apple, and then I'm going to talk about the dog, and then I'm going to, because I wouldn't know where I was going. That would literally all blank out.
Well, I do that. And I do that more than other comics do.
Yeah.
Like, I think I stick to a set list. So I know, you know, like if you think of my jokes as songs, I map it out like with the joke titles. And mine are pretty long chunks. So once I'm started on one, I know what I'm saying. Because like I said, I've said it a million times. But I really need that. And it's a little bit of a safety blanket at this point. Like I can do it without, but my brain really likes having that list there. And I use this silly app that I found to keep all of my jokes. And people sometimes make fun of me because comics are notoriously like, they just go up there and wing it. And they've maybe got some scribbles in a notebook, but they're like, I got it. I'll just do it. And I'm like, no, I'm going to figure out exactly what I'm going to do and exactly how long that is. And it's pretty hard for me to change that completely in the middle of a set.
So what is the app that you use? Because I know everybody will want to know.
Oh, I mean, it's just for comedy. It's called Comedy Companion. I don't know who made it or where. It's the tiniest. It's just.
And so is it the kind of thing that, I mean, do you use it for when something funny happens and there's a story? Like, can you do you put it
usually
in there?
Usually I put that in my notes. And then once it's an actual something I'm working on, then I can put it in there. But there's an area for jokes. There's an area for set lists. And then there's an area for when you're on stage. And you can record it. This is a lot of detail. But you can see your set list and your time. Oh. And that was always really hard for me.
Oh, my God. That would be a nightmare. I'd be up there for an hour and think it was 10 minutes.
Yes, for sure. There's when you're doing comedy, there's often a light. You've maybe heard the word like running the light. Mm-hmm. You don't want to run the light. That means you went over your time because when it's 1 or 2 minutes before you should get down, usually there's a light.
Okay.
And it's pretty bright. Most people are like, you can't miss it. And I'm like, want to make a bet? I can. And I will. And that is one of the most clear, objective changes I noticed when I started taking medication.
You saw the light.
I can see the light. It's so silly, but yeah.
I don't know. I think you should go look at dyslexia though.
That's really interesting.
Pictures and it's very common with ADHD, you know, we have all these different labels. I'm so tired of the labels. And I honestly think it's just part of one big spectrum. Right. And we have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And depending on how the soup comes out or whatever, you're given labels. But, I want to know, so you've got social anxiety. You struggle with that. What made you decide that, okay, I'm just going to, you know, go from the, what is it, frying pan into the fire, and I'm going to do comedy? How did that progression happen?
I think the social anxiety came later. So I've performed, or at least the awareness of the social anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of changes in my body and my brain happened after I became a mother. But I think the social anxiety became much worse. I don't even know that I was aware or would have ever called it social anxiety. Maybe I would stew about, like, did I say something stupid at that party? Or like, ugh, why do I always do that? Or, you know, I get awkward with myself really in my head after an mm-hmm. outing.
Yeah.
But after I became a mom, I don't know if it was like the being so isolated after being such a social person and then having to like re-enter society. mm-hmm. It was kind of like my own mini pandemic, you know? Plus you have a baby to feed every 2 hours.
yeah.
And I think everything out. That, and I did start focusing more on stand-up at that time. Gosh, I wish I could have a more interesting answer, but I don't know how I do that or why. I think I do like the challenge. It's satisfying and fulfilling to me to not let things get in my way.
Ah.
You know, I like to power through and do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if I want to do stand-up, and it makes me uncomfortable sometimes. I don't really have, my social anxiety isn't so much with things I said or did on stage. Once in a while, I'll worry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Like, I don't think about this conversation probably, because it's mm-hmm. sort of a performance of sorts on a podcast, yeah. you know. But if I was just hanging out with good friends, even if mm-hmm. they're good friends, I'll like stew about something or worry about what I've said or done. And
it's me again, Tracy. You know how people often assume that if you have ADHD, you're just lazy, unmotivated, and not living up to your full potential? Well, I'm here to tell you they've got it all wrong, except for the part about not reaching your full potential. But that's only because you haven't found the right strategies tailored for your unique ADHD brain. And that's exactly why I wrote ADHD for Smartass Women. This book, it's designed to help you understand the different approaches that work for your distinct brain, inspiring you to become the best version of yourself right now. You can grab a copy wherever books are sold. And if you've already read my book, please take a moment to leave a review on Amazon and Goodreads. Your feedback, it not only supports me and my publisher, but it also helps other smartass women and their kids, friends, and colleagues find the strategies they need to thrive. Every review makes a huge difference. So go write a review now or buy the book now before you forget. Okay, back to our usual programming. So is part of it just this being too much?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that probably stems from childhood, right?
Yeah.
And I can relate to that, you know.
I got to tell you, Tracy, this is pretty similar to my therapy appointment last week.
Sorry. I hear that a lot.
Pretty sure he said the same thing to me. And I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, you might be right. But yeah, I think it is.
We often have these big personalities, like if we just let them go, right? And certainly if we're hyperactive, we have these big personalities, we're impulsive, so we say stuff that other people won't. And it's hard. I don't know if you can relate to this, but I suspect you can. It's really hard to be one of a group, especially one of a group of women. Because we do feel this social pressure, right? To fit in, to not be more than anyone else. And so you almost feel like you're kind of have to stifle yourself, right? To be
constantly,
part of it.
Yes.
Even though you enjoy it. It's not that I don't enjoy it. I'm always glad when I show up, but I also feel like I can't be my full self because I don't want to take over the room every single time I show up for something.
And do you have an easier time socializing with just one-on-one?
Yes. No problem at all, one-on-one.
Me too. And I think there's so much going on that we get overstimulated. Mm-hmm. And then it's harder to, you know, focus.
Keep it down. And
keep it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You get excited.
Right.
But when it's one-on-one, you can talk to yourself in your mind. And it's not that you're stifling your personality so much as going, hey, Ellie, why don't you ask them some questions?
Totally. Totally. And what I will say is part of my too muchness is I am so interested in people. I'm so interested in who they are, why they do what they do, what they're thinking about, like all of it. And so if I have to be one of many and wait my turn, all I can really do is observe. I can't really engage versus one-on-one. It can be all about them. And I'm totally fine with that because I feel like I'm learning something. And I think that's where it stems from is this quest to always learn and not to just keep things static where they are, right? In anything.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh gosh. I love change. Big changes all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I absolutely relate to all of that socially. That makes a lot of sense.
And I'm often bored by other people's questions. So in a group where you have to take turns and you can't be the one that's always asking the questions, right? And it's the inane, you know, stupid, like, oh, how's the weather? And what, like, just stuff that it's like every day and you talk about it all the time and it doesn't matter, right? It's not big enough. It's not challenging enough. It's not fun enough.
I want to get right down to it. I want to talk about, I want to talk about sex and murder and big feelings.
On weekends, sometimes when I'm cleaning, I'll put on, you know, it's always like the Dateline, the 48 hours, the, what all those shows, you know. My husband, this past weekend, he comes in and he's like, how do you watch this stuff? It's so depressing. And I'm such a weenie. Like, you would think if it's a movie about that kind of stuff, I can't watch it. But for some reason, because it's real life, it's like sick. Like, it just keeps me, you know, engaged and makes it easy to do the other things because it's so intense.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to know, Ellie, do you feel pressure now that you're a comedian and you're, you know, you've done really well as a comedian? Do you feel pressure to always be funny?
No.
You're so calm.
You
are so calm.
I always ever said that to me.
Really? But I, this is not the first comedian I've spoken with. It's not my first rodeo. And what I will find, what I will tell you is lots of times comedians are actually very calm. You know, you expect them to be like Robin Williams where they're just like bouncing off the walls. But most comedians I've met are not actually like that. Until they get on stage.
You think they're going to be really fun to be around. And then they're kind of just crabby. And you're like, oh, you're kind of a bummer.
That's not true about you, though.
No, but sometimes it's true about a lot of us, though. Absolutely.
Really?
So I'll tell you, I think you'll find this interesting because it's a weird little dichotomy I made for myself, but I recently quit, so I'm no longer doing it, but for a long time, I was a stand-up comic, and my other job is massage therapy, but I worked in a hospice, so I gave massages to dying people. Yes, the most serious.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like it was a really beautiful balance.
Yeah.
So I can turn it all the way off. I mean, not that it always has to be all the way off in hospice because it can be joyful. It's not always the last day or two, you know, but.
Although Ellie.
Yeah.
If I'm in hospice and I'm dying and I have a massage therapist, damn them if they're not funny.
Yeah. You want someone funny giving you a massage.
Totally.
Totally. I did use my sense of humor in hospice a ton. Like it's not, but there's a line and there's an appropriateness. It wasn't my same stage sense of humor, you know? But yeah, there is a part of me that like craves calmness. And I think that's, why I sought out massage therapy. I think I needed, before that, I was a waitress, you know, like a cocktail mm-hmm. waitress and partying a lot. And uh-huh. I think I really wanted something like healthy for me, that I could be calm and mentally healthy while working. And massage therapy really felt like that. And I was drawn to helping, helping people. And I ended up in hospice, which is kind of where I wanted to be. It was very much an on purpose journey.
Mm.
But yeah, strange balance.
So if your friends were to describe you, and I'm not talking about them going and seeing you in the clubs and, you know, hacking it up, or not hacking, what would it be, laughing it up?
Sure.
hopefully you're not hacking, laughing it up. How would they describe you? Would they describe you as really funny and all over the place? And
yes.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah,
they
for
would.
Sure.
Okay.
I think when I went into hospice, and the whole time I was in hospice, every time someone would find out, they'd go, "What?" Like, they just couldn't believe it. It was so weird. And it does feel a little, now that I'm done, I'm like, okay, I can breathe and kind of just be myself. Because it felt a little two different lives for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think another thing they would probably say is kind of a flake, you know? I'm one of those people, I'm going to be late. And I'm going to cancel plans. And uh-huh. I'm going to forget to tell you that thing I was supposed to tell you.
But when I get there, I'm going to be so funny that you're going to want me back yeah. every time.
We're going to have a lot of fun at brunch.
Yeah. Yeah. So they'll put up with all of that.
Sure. The yeah. ones that are still around.
Absolutely. So what is it about you and your ADHD that makes you good at what you do?
I think you said it before, like the impulse stuff. I think that I'll say the honest, the real deal stuff. I want to get to the truth, and that's what makes comedy good, usually, is truth telling. I mean, is really what a lot of it is. And that makes it relatable for people. And so I think a lot of women especially will see me and go, oh my gosh, that is, I've never said that out loud, but absolutely relatable.
And what do you think the key to living successfully with ADHD is?
We're still working on it. hooks. Lots of hooks.
What do you mean by hooks?
You said, I remember reading something that, like, you might ask what a good hack is. And that's my uh-huh. that's my hack is,
okay.
I love hooks on the wall. Because I don't have the capacity.
Oh, I'm thinking hooks like
a,
you know,
like a hook line. No, I.
Okay, like
sorry.
Comedy, right? Isn't there a hook in every? You're talking about real hooks.
I'm talking about real hooks for coats and sweaters. You know, because I don't have the mental capacity to get a hanger out, open a door, get a hanger out, put something on it, put the hanger back. But I can use a hook. It's right there. I see it. So that's
wonderful.
My deal.
Okay.
I've hooked.
So your number one ADHD workaround and your key to living successfully with ADHD is a hook.
Hooks on the walls.
Love it. Okay, Ellie, tell us again what you're working on, where people can find you, all of that. And we're going to have it in the show notes if you miss it.
Wonderful. I have an album coming out. It is my debut stand-up comedy album called Soft Bones. It is available for pre-order right now on iTunes. It will be available everywhere you listen to comedy albums on April 5th. BlondeMedicine.com is the easiest place to get it. That's the label, Blonde Medicine. My name is Ellie Hino. Look me up, follow me on the Instagram or the TikTok if we still have that, or whatever you want. And yeah, I have a show, some shows around Minneapolis in the next few weeks. So I have a website as well, elliehino.com, where I have a show calendar.
Can I ask you, Ellie, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, how do you get a comedy album Is that like getting a book deal? Do you have to work with a publisher, or can you just produce one on your own?
I produced it on my own, and then I got a label involved because then they can help distribute and try and get you on like Sirius XM, which is a really great place to be for comedy. So it's really hard to self-produce the whole thing, but I did all of the, I hired my own people because I have, you know, pals.
Because you have people.
I have my people. And so I kind of had it pretty close to done when I went to Blonde Medicine. And they are an awesome, awesome label outside of San Francisco. A little indie label.
Where outside of San Francisco, do you know?
Petaluma.
No friggin' way. Yeah. Really?
What?
You know, I live in Pengrove, which is 5 minutes from Petaluma.
Oh, that's so great. I had no idea.
So tell me what Blonde Medicine is. It sounds like it's women, right?
There's one woman and one man who run it, but
But
no,
do they look
not
for female talent or no?
I mean, I think they're really, really awesome about utilizing women, and putting our albums out. So yeah, you'll see a lot of women, but they do all kinds of comedy albums, all these incredible comics. Some of them you've heard of, some of them you haven't, but go check out their website because they have a huge long list of, you know, I think over 100 records they've put out.
And you can go comedy?
Yeah, almost all comedy. I think they do some music. I don't know much about their music stuff, but I know they do some music maybe like locally where they are. They work with some artists.
That's incredible. Okay, Ellie, April 5th, I am going to buy. Where do we buy this? We buy it by going to.
You know what? Before April 5th, because then I get number ones on iTunes when it comes out.
Is this pre-order?
Pre-order.
Okay, so I can go buy it now.
It would be the coolest thing ever if you went and bought it now on iTunes.
Okay, so I go to iTunes and I look for Ellie Hino.
Soft Bones.
Your poor son. And I can buy it there.
Yeah, and I think if you scroll down past, like, most of the tracks will be dark. There's one track that's available for 99 cents or whatever, and that's a track you'll get right away when you pre-order the whole album, and you'll get a couple other little instant gratification tracks before April 5th. One of them might be out now. I'm not really sure. But if you scroll down to the bottom, it'll say pre-order or something like that, or buy on iTunes. And it's $7.99. Okay. Just do it.
Just do it, people. We need to support our fellow ADHD women, right? I will buy it. I promise. I'm actually really interested to hear what you have to say. Anyway, Ellie, thank you so much for spending time with us here today. It was such a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you so much.
So that's what I have for you for this week. If you liked this episode with Ellie, please let us know by leaving a review. Our goal is to change the conversation around ADHD, helping as many women as we possibly can learn how their ADHD brains work so that they too may discover their amazing strength. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you here next week. Okay. You've been listening to the ADHD for Smartass Women podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Otsuka. Join us at ADHDforSmartWomen.com, where you can find more information on my new book, ADHD for Smartass Women, and my patented Your ADHD Brain is A-OK system to help you get unstuck and fall in love with your brilliant brain. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you here next week. And don't forget to sign up for our free live virtual training, 3 days to fall in love with your ADHD brain, starting on April 15th at spyhappy.me/3days. I'm telling you, it's life-changing.